the more I read the Word of God, and the more I hear it preached, and I do listen to tapes, the more I see the need of hearing it and of reading it. I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is by the Word of God and through the Word of God that He speaks. Hebrews 1 tells us that God in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son, and His Son is called the Word. Not only the incarnate Word, that is the Word in flesh, but He's also the written Word. And this is why I keep insisting more and more that people come to hear the preached Word. This is it. They come to hear I keep insisting people come at every opportunity to hear the preached Word and to read the Word for themselves. This is how God speaks. You want peace, you want comfort, you want salvation, you want encouragement, you want strength, whatever it may be. This is how you get it. If you don't have these things, it's because you're not in this. You're not under the sound of the Word. You're not reading it for yourself. And you have no one else to blame but yourself. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I'll show you this. The Scripture will show us this. Romans chapter 10. He says, in a moment, faith comes by hearing. We say we want faith. We say we want comfort. We say we want to know the will of God. We say we want this. We say we want that. Well, faith, all these things come by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10, look at verse 13 with me. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that mean that any man out on the street that just up and calls on somebody will be saved? No. It says the name of the Lord. It's got to be a particular Lord. Everybody's talking about Lord. Everybody's talking about the Lord this, the Lord that. Men take His name in vain, don't they? Oh, Lord. What Lord are they talking about? Well, in verse 14, it says, well, how are they going to call on Him who they've not believed? They got to believe the right one. They got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's Paul said they'd be coming preaching another Jesus, another Jesus. So it's got to be the right one. How shall they call on Him who they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they've not heard? They got to hear what He's like. They got to hear what He looks like and how He sounds. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You're just saying that because so people come to church. No, I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said it. God, the Holy Spirit, said it through him. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Boy, I ask that all the time. These men and some women even. Gracious, they haven't been sent, so many of them. It's obvious. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? So then, faith, believe in this report. It's just one gospel. Paul said again, they come preaching another gospel, another Jesus, another Lord. Many Christs, Christ Himself said, many Christs will come in that day. So then faith, true faith, knowledge of the true God, the true Lord, Jesus Christ, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you have an ounce of interest in God or the things of the Spirit, life, death, judgment, eternity, you need to hear and read the Word of God as often as possible. Did you hear what I said? God speaks through this book. God speaks through this book. If you're not under the sound of the book, God not will speak to you. Forget it. God answers questions through this book. If you're not reading the book or hearing it preached, you're not going to have your questions answered. Forget it. But in John chapter 10, this is where we're going to deal. And I keep insisting. Why? Because it's our only hope, our only place to resort. That is the Word of God. This world has many different theories and beliefs and this and that and the other, but where is their, what is their foundation? Ask someone, why do you believe what you believe? I just do. Ask a believer, why do you believe what you believe? Because God said it right here. This is my hope. How firm a foundation. This is my foundation. This is where I go to. John chapter 10. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. Everybody, I hope you have a Bible. John chapter 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I asked this morning, have you heard the voice of the Son of God? John chapter 10, look at verse 1 with me. Christ now had been speaking to some Pharisees, some Sadducees, some religious leaders of that day. And he'd been reproving them for their pride, their self-righteousness. They were going about to establish their own righteousness, trying to commend themselves to God, trying to get God to accept them because of their righteousness, because of their morality, because of the fact that they were in church all the time. They're trying to get God to accept them. They thought God was well pleased with it. And Christ brought this parable here in chapter 10, verse 1. He said, surely, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now listen to me. This will be interesting to you. It's warm in here. Excuse me. Many years ago, and still today, in Far Eastern sheep-raising countries, they had these, what were called sheep folds, which were nothing more than a pen or an enclosure that was surrounded by high walls or fences to protect the sheep, fences of wood or of stone. And generally, these sheepfolds were up against the shepherd's house or the owner of the sheep's house, up against the house. Sometimes they were out in the wilderness, but most of the time these sheepfolds, these pens that kept the sheep, were up against the shepherd's house, right there close where he could keep a good eye on them. And there was only one entrance into this pen. Only one door. One way to get into those sheep. Generally, the walls were too high to climb over. The shepherd made certain of that. And there was only one way into those sheep. One entrance. One door. Because just one shepherd. Only one person needs to go in that door. And only the shepherd. Only the shepherd could go in that door and come out of that door. And perhaps sometimes he had an under-shepherd, a young man that was learning the trade from him, and he would let him in. But no one else was allowed in that door except the shepherd and perhaps sometime his under-shepherd. Anybody caught trying to get in, trying to get over the wall, climb over some other way other than that door, was accounted a thief and a robber. That's what he said there. He that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up, tries to get over the wall some other way than that door. The same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The true shepherd always went in by the rightful way. He had no need of going in any other way but the door. That was the way in. That was the pre-prescribed way to get into the sheep. And the shepherd always went in that door. You can count on it. The only other ones that went through that door were sheep. Sheep. Sheep and the shepherd went in that door. Verse 3. To him, that is to this shepherd, the porter openeth. The porter openeth. Now sometimes the shepherd of sheep would leave a man or someone in charge of the sheep while he was away. Or else, he might just be renting this sheepfold from someone. Someone else owned it, and he was renting it from them. And when the shepherd came for the sheep, The porter who was keeping these sheep knew his voice, knew the shepherd, and he'd let him in. Look at that, verse 3. To him the porter, to the shepherd, the real shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd then would begin to call out his sheep. He came for the sheep, and the porter who kept those sheep would open the door to the shepherd, nobody else. And the shepherd then would then begin to call his sheep out, one by one, by name. Call them out. Now, sometimes over in these countries, too, there were goats in with the sheep. They're goats. It's a common pen sometimes. And sometimes it was a common sheepfold. There were a bunch of sheep that belonged to somebody else, but they weren't that shepherd's sheep. You understand? But anyway, he would come. This particular shepherd would come, and the porter would open to him, and he'd begin calling his sheep. His sheep would hear his voice. Verse 3, he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The shepherd knew his sheep. He knew them, every one of them. I'll show you why in a minute. And they knew their shepherd's voice. They knew his voice. And one by one, he'd call them out. Call them out of the fold. He gently prodding them along, guiding them, pulling them, wooing them, leading them, taking careful account as he went. Stood by the door, counting each one of them, making sure they're all there. Yeah, there's Charlie. There's Betty. Gertrude, come on. Come on now. Calling them all, one by one, by name. And they heard his voice. Every one of them heard his voice and came out. And he leads them out. In verse 4, and when he puts forth his own sheep, they're his. When he puts them out, when he's got them out of the fold, out of the pen, says he got right in front of them. He goes before them. And the sheep would follow him. They know his voice. When they were all gathered together, his sheep now, not goats, not somebody else's sheep, a parent sheep, but his sheep. He'd get right in front of them. After he called them all out of the pen, they'd all gathered around him. He'd get right in front of them, and then he'd lead them out to green pastures, still waters. And those gentle little, he'd be calling them all along. Come on now, get back over here. Quit straying. And one might stray way, long way off, and he'd stop everything and go get that one and bring him back. He's the good shepherd, you see. And these gentle, weak, timid, frightened, frail little lambs would be following right behind him. They knew his voice. They knew his voice. Verse 5. But a stranger will they not follow. They flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. You let a stranger come to the sheepfold. First of all, the porter's not going to let him in. The porter who has charge of him. A stranger come up and say, I'd like to see my sheep. I don't know you. You're not the shepherd here. You be gone. So he'd have to skedaddle on down the road. Or if he tried to crawl over the wall, only a stranger would do that. He'd be shot on sight. Shot on sight. You let a stranger come down the road, and the sheep are walking down behind the shepherd, you know, and the shepherd appears to be a long way off. Some of them in the back can't see him. And this stranger come along behind him and start talking. Come here, sheep. Come here. Come on. They'd hear that fellow. They don't know his voice. Who is that? And they'd all, nobody knew his voice. And what would they do? They'd flee. Leave me alone. And they'd run that much closer to the shepherd. And they'd all get in behind, around the shepherd, close to the shepherd. They don't know this stranger. They're afraid of him. Verse 6. Now this parable spake Jesus unto them, these Pharisees, but they understood not what things he was saying. Do you? Yeah, blessed are your eyes if you do. Blessed are your eyes. Well, Christ begins to explain to them. Graciously he explains to them. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. You know, sometimes back in these old sheep herding days, far eastern countries, they wouldn't even have a door. They'd have a pen, But instead of a door, like if they had a temporary pen or sheepfold out in the wilderness, if it was temporary, they didn't have door, didn't have time to make hinges and all that sort of thing. So the shepherd himself would lie down in the opening. And he was the door. Nobody got out. Nobody came in. But by him. And Christ said, I'm the door. I'm the way to God. I'm the truth. I'm the life to God. No one gets to the Father but by me. I'm the door. I'm the way of acceptance with the Father. The Father is angry with the wicked every day. He hates all workers of iniquity. The wrath of God abides upon the ungodly, but the love of God is in me. So if you come by me, you have the love of God upon you, you see. I'm the way of everlasting. Not your works. God won't accept them. They're filthy rags, he said. Filthy, filthy rags, your works of righteousness. Not your morality. I am your righteousness. I am. God will only accept what I have done, not you. I'm the way. I'm the door. I'm the door. Christ said, I'm the door to heaven. Nobody gets in but through me. Through me. And you don't have the handle. I do. I decide who goes in, Christ said. The straight gate. He said, I'm the straight gate, the narrow way, the door. The door to God's home. The door to God's family. Only through the work, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ can we be received into God's presence. Only in His everlasting kingdom of righteousness. You know, the porter, we read there how that the porter opens and hears the shepherd's voice. And the porter won't let anybody in but the shepherd. And the porter won't let anyone in that way, but the porter won't let anybody in any way but the door. But the door. And what did Christ say? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And God is that porter, or the Holy Spirit is that porter. And they always, God the Holy Spirit, always directs a sheep, a real sheep, through the right way, the door. You can't go to God. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you and says, you can't go to God but through Christ. You've got to go through the door now. And somebody will be trying to know. A sheep might even try to climb over the wall. Climb up that ladder of good works, you know. Get down. You've got to go through the door. This is the only way. Only way. Well, look at verse 8 with me. All that ever came before me, Christ said, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Anybody who claims to be the way or know the way, another way, they're thieves, robbers, making merchandise of men's souls is all they're doing. Thieves and robbers, but the sheep won't hear them. Verse 9, I'm the door, Christ said. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. And find pasture. In and out. That's freedom in Christ. Freedom. We're not chained. We're not chained to rules and regulations, but we're free. Free. When the Son will set you free, you're free indeed. Free. And also this could mean, too, whether in this life or out of this life. You shall go in and then out of this life. And find pasture. There's pastures to be found here. We're grazing in them right now. But there's greener pastures out of this life, isn't there? Greener pastures over there. In and out. And also, you go in Christ, you come out from the world, too. In and out. And find pasture. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. Now the thief cometh not. The only reason the thief comes is to steal. And to kill and to destroy. There were false Christs, false prophets back then, just as there are now. Many false prophets. Many, many. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Christ himself said Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. He looks good. He's working through some really fine looking, sounding preachers. transformed himself into an angel of light, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, saying gospel, gospel, when there is no gospel. Now they only come, Christ said here, these pretended shepherds, these wolves in sheep's clothing, they only come at God's sheep to feed on them. Not to feed them. Look back at Ezekiel. We read that a while ago. Look back at Ezekiel chapter 34. They don't come to feed the sheep, but they come to feed on the sheep. You remember when Christ came into that temple one day and they were the money changers? People were selling doves and turtle doves and so forth for people to sacrifice with. They were selling them, making profit off of, making merchandise off of this thing that's supposed to be worship. They were getting great gain through this. And Christ came into that temple one day. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Began kicking over tables, money tables. Got a whip and started beating these evil fellows. Said, my house will be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. That's what's going on today, isn't it? Making merchandise of men sold. Counting heads. Counting heads for their Sunday school, you know. See what preacher has the biggest church for their salary and all of this. Look at verse 1 of Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, these so-called shepherds. Prophesy, say unto them, thus say the Lord God unto the shepherds. And this applies to these preachers, pastors today. Woe be the shepherds, the pastors that do feed themselves. They're getting filthy, wickedly rich. Feeding themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? You're fat. He said, you eat the fat. You clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed. You feed not the flock. The diseased. Your church isn't full of sinners. Full of good people. The diseased have you not strengthened. No, you're out after the rich folk in the community. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Verse 6, my sheep wander, looking, searching, looking for some gospel somewhere. Lane, it's hard to find, isn't it? Looking for some gospel somewhere. Sheep are roaming, wandering. Why? Because of these false shepherds, these false preachers. Look back at the text, John 10. And he said in another place in Jeremiah 23, they steal the word of God from them. Why? They don't want people knowing the truth. Truth sets them free. They want them under their bondage, under their dominion, only knowing what they tell them, you know. They leave their church, they're out of a job. So they steal God's word. Jeremiah 23 is full of that. They steal of God's word from the people. Only tell them what they want. If they do give them any word, they twist it and turn it to make it say what it doesn't say. They try to kill. Christ said there that thieves only come to steal and to kill. They try to kill all trust in Christ. God's not going to accept you solely by faith. You're not going to be justified solely by faith. Now, come on. Forget that. You got to work, too. And they kill this trust in Christ, don't they? They kill this faith in Christ and Christ alone and His imputed righteousness. Kill that. Now, it's got to be more than that. They come to destroy. They want to destroy the foundation of our faith, Henry. Christ. They come to destroy that foundation and say, no, it's not all by grace. It's by works, too. Try to mix. They say the word grace, but they mix a little works with it, too. Killing our foundation. Destroying the foundation. And if the foundation be destroyed, Terry, what are the righteous going to do? What hope have we if our hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? What hope have we? We don't have a hope. We have a wish. Well, verse 10 again, he says, I'm come, though, that they might have life. The good shepherds come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The good shepherds come to give the sheep eternal life, real life. Not just to make this life pleasant and pleasing, but to give real life, to show real life, to show the author of life, where life really is to be found. Not in this world, in Him, in God, in Christ.
And life more abundantly, he said there, more abundantly.
If the Son, read it before, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son gives you life, you've never known life. I used to think I had pleasure in this old world. There was pleasure in sin for a season. I was like a young Moses. I was down in Egypt enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. But when God showed me the Christ, His Son, oh, there's greater pleasure in the reproaches of Christ and following after Him than all the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because these things are going to pass away, but He abides forever. Ever. And if you ever really get a look at Him, then you'll appreciate Him. Then you'll love abundant life, real life. Real life is freedom, too. Free from the yoke of the law. Free from bondage. Free from being afraid to make a wrong step. No, I've got a loving Heavenly Father and a kind Savior. Oh, I fall and it grieves me. But I'm not worried about my salvation. Got a good shepherd watching me. Got a good shepherd watching me. Look at verse 11. Christ said, I am the good shepherd. Not only am I the door, He said, but I'm the shepherd. I'm everything in this parable. Christ is all. Colossians 3:11 says, but Christ said, not only am I the shepherd, or the door, but I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's the mark of a true shepherd. A true shepherd. A true shepherd only will lay down his life for the sheep. You know, if a lion or a bear or a wolf or a tiger or something's coming after those sheep, that shepherd, that true shepherd, he'll hazard his life. In a minute, won't think anything. You parents, somebody's going to harm your children? Steve? I tell you, they're going to meet with a bear if they try to get to that little boy. A bear. Try to get at him. Can't do it. Steve, you hadn't had that child very long at all, but you'd lay down your life right now for him, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Think about it a minute. And that's what Christ did for His sheep. Exactly what He did. He met God's law head on. That law that said, this sheep's got to die. This sheep's got to die. He's broken God's law. Christ said, I'm going to keep the law for him. And He got a hold of that law. And He met it. He magnified it even. He lived up to it. He said, now, I've got that taken care of. I've taken care of that big giant called the law. I did this for that sheep. I did that. And a wolf, Satan, comes along. Christ got him by the neck, didn't he? Got him by the head and stomped on his head. Bruised his head. Bruised the power. Satan has no more claim on his God's sheep. No more claim. And self. You think this lion in us called self has got a hold of us sometime, don't you? Devouring us, going to kill us, going to take us down. Christ got a hold of that too. Sin shall not have dominion over you, Christ said. You're not under the law. You're under grace. You're under the grace of this kind shepherd. He's not going to let you go. I'm not going to let him go, the shepherd said. Not going to do it. You can't have him. You can't have him. Well, he conquered all these things, but he was mortally wounded. He was killed. But you see, he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's not just any old shepherd. He's God's shepherd. And he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He rose victorious over the final monster, death. Death, that final thing that we're so fearful of. Christ said, I'll take care of that too. Take care of that too. You're going right in. Don't worry. I've overcome it all. I've taken care of it all. The good shepherd met all these beasts and killed them, slew them, victorious. And now he's seated, drawing them to himself. Come on, little sheep. Come on out. It's a rough road. Come on. And the Holy Spirit's right behind pushing. Come on. Come on. And we're fighting sometimes. I want to go back. No, come on. Thank God we're kept by His power and not our own. Or we'd surely go back, wouldn't we? Go back in a minute. Verse 12. But Christ said, he that is an hireling. Look at verse 12. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd,
whose own the sheep are not. He doesn't own his sheep. He sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep, flees. The wolf catches him, scatters the sheep.
A hireling flees because he's a hireling.
He doesn't care for the sheep. And I think this is talking about this other Jesus that they're preaching. He's a little hireling. I make fun of this God of 20th century religion. I make fun of this peon God that wants to save people and they won't let him. He's a hireling. He's just doing what they pay him to do, right? He's a hireling. This other Jesus they're preaching. He comes when the sheep call. Doesn't he? He didn't call the sheep. They call him. Come in. I need you now. He's a hireling. He does their bidding. He comes when they decide. This hireling, this other Jesus. And they have charge of the door. They won't let the shepherd in. It's worth laughing at, isn't it? That's what they say, Jesus knocking at your heart's door. That's talking about the church there, and it's talking about fellowship with the church in Revelation. Talk about the church of Laodicea. Talking about Christ coming in and supping with the church. It doesn't talk about depraved dead men and women letting him in. Christ at your heart's door knocking open, you'll let him in. Sheep don't decide when the shepherd comes in. He comes and goes as he pleases. Huh? So, and this is also talking about false preachers. False preachers. They're in this thing till the money runs out. You let a little trouble come. Isn't that what he said? He said when the wolf comes, the hireling flees. He's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. He cared about his own skin. Skin for skin, you know. You let a little trouble come, and troubles and trials will come upon God's sheep. Mark it down. You let a little trouble come to a supposed sheep, and their little Jesus in the manger won't help them, will it? That Jesus on the cross won't help them. But the Lord Jesus Christ seated on the throne will help his sheep. Yes, sir. And these false preachers who are in it for the money, these little hirelings, they'll take the treasury. First sign of trouble, they'll take the treasury and run. And take the secretary with them. You see it happening. Verse 14. Christ said, but I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. I know them. We read there in Ezekiel 34. You don't have to turn back. Let me read it for you. Ezekiel 34, he said, behold, I, the Lord God said, I will search out my sheep. I'll get them. I'll get them. I'll search them out. Verse 23, he says, I'll set up my shepherd over them, a sure shepherd, a good shepherd. And in the last verse, he says, you, my flock, you're the flock of my pasture, and you're not just sheep, you're men. And I'm your God. I'm your shepherd. I'm your God. God. You see that? You notice that, Charles? He said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is, I am. He's God. He's the good shepherd because he's God. There's none good but God. God is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalm says. And he says, I know my sheep, and them know them of mine. It's not the other way around, is it, Rick? They don't know me, and then I know them. That's what they're saying about election, aren't they? God looked down to see who would believe on him, so he chose them. No. He chose them, and then finally they believe on him. He says, I know them. Intimately, in love, I choose them. And then they come to know me. It's like a little sheep, a little lamb is born. A little lamb is born, and the good shepherd raises it up. Raises it up. Something may happen to the mommy. And he feeds it and tenderly cares for it. Kindly raises and nurtures and teaches it how to walk and puts it on the way and instructs it and guides it and leads it. And finally someday, one day, that little lamb starts recognizing that voice, you know. Before he didn't. It's too weak, too frail. But one day, he opens up his eyes and he sees the shepherd. And he doesn't want to leave him. He wants to stay beside that shepherd. That little sheep knows the shepherd. How? Christ said, I know my sheep. How are the sheep
How are these people God's or Christ's sheep, his people? How? Well, there was two ways that you could own sheep. Two ways. Still the same way. Owning anything. First, you can either inherit what you get, or you can go buy it. You can earn it. Christ did both. He did both. The Father gave these sheep to him, but he had to come earn them, didn't he? The Father gave him these sheep, the great landowner, the porter, the great king. He gave these sheep to the Son in a covenant before time began, in a covenant, an agreement. But these sheep are wandering, scattered, captives to the wolves, captive. Christ had to come down here and arrest them. Find them. Search them out. Seek them out. Go get them. Had to get them. And when he already got them all, he had to buy them from God's law. Had to buy them from Satan by meeting all of the temptations and so forth. Christ came down here and came to buy them, and he did. And he set them free. And Christ comes to get his sheep. And look at verse 14 again. He said, I'm known of them. I know them. How's he know them? Well, he knows them through that love of the Father, that intimate love, that covenant that the Father and he made together. He knows them. He knew them before they were ever in their mother's womb. If that boy is God's, he knew him. He knew he's going to be called Joseph Aaron a long time before you did. Oh, yeah. If he's God's, he chose him. He's God's. So Christ knows us in that way. How do we know him? He calls us. He calls us. And he doesn't just give a general call. Shepherd just doesn't go to the pen, open the door and say, sheep, sheep. If he did, all sheep would come, wouldn't it? There's a bunch of so-called shears, wolves and sheep's clothing in there. Sheep, come on, sheep. Any sheep want to have a shepherd? Come on. Oh, no. He comes, Stanley, come on out of there. Sherry, come on. You're mine. Calls them by name. He walks along. Christ walked along that road. There was Matthew, that fellow that was counting his money, tax collector. Had all his care and his concerns and this world's good. And Christ walked along, and maybe he looked him in the eye. And he calls in different ways. Maybe he looked him in the eye and said, Matthew, follow me. He laid it all down and just walked behind like a lamb. Like a lamb. He walked along one day and he saw some little squirt up a tree. Zacchaeus, now you come on down there. Come on down, you little. I'm going to your house. He came on down at the shepherd's voice. He walked along. There was old Philip, Peter, John, fishing out there. Y'all put those nets down now. All right, come on. Peter, John, James, yeah, I mean you. Come on. Call them by name. Philip, come on. Then sometimes he has to call pretty loud. Some of us are in the grave, been stinking a long time, like old Lazarus. Lazarus! Some of us have to be hollered at. Lazarus! Paul! Come on now. Maybe a still, small voice like Mary at that tomb. Mary. Sweet little Mary. No. Oh, she was a sinner, but Christ said it to her gently. Mary. Rabboni. Master. She heard his voice. She knew that voice. And he speaks to every one of his sheep. Sinner. Terry. He speaks to every one of them. And they come. They come. And the Father, verse 15, he knows them. The Father knows me first, and so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The porter knows the shepherd, and the shepherd only. Shepherd knows the Father. Shepherd knows the porter. Even so knoweth no man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it. Scripture says. And you know, this porter, like I said, can mean the Holy Spirit too. The Holy Spirit, under whose care and protection we are, while Christ is away, The Spirit knows only the things of Christ, and He only takes the things of Christ and shows it to the sheep, you see. And Christ said here, I lay down my life for the sheep. Lay down my life for them. Verse 16. And other sheep, though, I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Steve, you realize the importance of this now, don't you? You didn't realize it later on, and you'll realize it more and more the older that child gets.
I hope that boy's a sheep, don't you? He must bring him if he is. He's going to wait on him.
That boy may be the last sheep. You think about that.
That's the only reason God's holding this whole world together. Till all the sheep come in. Till He draws them all in. It may be the last one.
And in His good time, He says, 400,567,332. That's it. Cut it off. That's all of them. That's all I got written down here. Comes to the end of the book. Joseph Aaron Parker. And then God sets it on fire. She's all of them. You see that? That's it. He said, I've got some sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them. I must bring them. Look here. Look back at the text again. He said in verse 16, He said, and they shall hear my voice. They've got to hear it. They've got to hear it. They must hear that voice. And there shall be one fold, one shepherd. God's people don't have different conceptions of Christ, do they? They don't have different conceptions of God. They all know God is holy, sovereign, just, almighty, powerful. He's only one God. He's not trying to do things. He does all things. They all know Him in the same way. They all know Christ as the sovereign, successful Savior, not a pitiful little martyr trying to save people that they won't let Him. Crying his eyes out. No, a sovereign Savior who came down here and paid a price and got the job done. And they bow to His feet as Lord and Master and King for saving the Redeemer, the one that redeems. The word means He did it. Redeemer. They all know Him in that way. They hear His voice. One fold, one shepherd, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Scripture said. In verse 17, therefore, my Father loves me. Because I laid down my life. I laid down my... You see, He said that three times. I laid down my life. I laid down my life. So you see, this shepherd is invincible. He's invincible. That's the reason we have such protection. And He's a voluntary shepherd. He didn't have to do this. He did it of His own free pleasure and will. He didn't have to come down here. He didn't have to. God didn't have to choose a sheep, but He did. And nobody can defeat our shepherd. Nobody. Nobody. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them. They follow me. Christ the shepherd comes, the porter opens the door, the Holy Spirit opens the door with the Word of God. The shepherd calls his sheep. Fancy? Come on. Calls them all by name. Calls them all. They come out. They follow Him. They know His voice. In verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Because my Father, the great sheep owner, which gave them me, He's greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. We've both got a vested interest in the sheep. We ain't going to let them go. They're our sheep. Got a big price, paid a big price to get them. Not going to let them go. You people, if you spend big money on something, you're going to take good care of it, aren't you? Christ poured out His soul unto death. You reckon He's going to let anybody fall? You reckon He's going to do that for somebody that's not finally saved? That's blasphemy. He poured out His soul, poured out His precious blood, every drop of it, for the sheep. Nobody else. Christ said that there earlier. He said to those Pharisees, you don't believe me, do you? He said, you don't believe what I'm saying, do you, to the Pharisee? Why don't you believe me? What did He say? You're not my sheep. My sheep, He said, hear my voice. I know them. They know me. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Never. Stand with me, and I'll dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we how we thank you for this blessed book, this food, this sheep fodder. We thank you for putting it down where we can reach it. We thank you for this word. It's the children's bread, and we thank you for letting us feed upon it. Thank you for Christ. We thank you that Christ, our great shepherd, the Lord, the King, came down, condescended, came down. We thank you he talks in plain language. And we thank you he calls by name. Call us. Every one of us. Call us. Enable us to follow you. And keep us from wandering. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Help us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.
You're dismissed.